We continue this evening our study of the life of Joseph, and we read from Genesis chapter 43. And the famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? And they said, The man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told them according to the tenor of these words. Could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? Judah said unto Israel his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned the second time. And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present. A little balm, a little honey, spices and myrrh and nuts and almonds. And take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother, and arise, go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin was with them, he said to the ruler of his house, Bring these men home and slay and make ready. For these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid, because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house and said, O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food, and it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight. and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, "Peace be unto you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money." And he brought Simeon out unto them. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water. And they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. And they made ready the present against Joseph, came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare, and said, "Is your father well, the old man whom ye spake? Is he yet alive?" And they answered, "Thy servant our father is in good health, he is yet alive." And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me?" And he said, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." But Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, "Set on bread." And they set on for him by himself, for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians which did eat with him, by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men marveled one at another. And he took and sent messes unto them before him. But Benjamin's mess was 5 times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. Our text is verse 34. We have an old word here that we really don't use in this way at all anymore. Messes, boys and girls, that means portions. Portions of food. And he took and sent messes unto them, or portions unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess, or portion, was 5 times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. May God add his blessing to the reading and preaching of his word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus, this evening as we read this selection of Scripture, we're going to look at it now not so much from its redemptive historical significance, but from its typical significance. Moses is slow through this portion. He is taking a lot of time because Joseph is carefully testing his brothers. Have they changed? Are they the same old men? Or is their behavior changed? Is their attitude changed? Is their heart changed? And so he's going slowly. He is not yet revealed here. He does not yet say to them, "I am your brother Joseph." But before we hasten on to that point, there's going to be more testing that goes on when they leave his house. And even now, while they're in the house, he's going to test them. But we're going to pause a moment at the beautiful picture. Before the 10 brothers were bowing down before their brother Joseph, they knew him not. That's the first dream that Joseph had had. But there was a second dream. The second dream was with the 11 stars bowing down. And now all 11 brothers are bowing down to him. They are sitting in Joseph's house, eating and drinking with him. What a picture. What a picture we have of holy communion with our true Joseph in his house. What a picture of the feast that is set before us and of the blessed fellowship that we have with the true Joseph. So we could entitle this sermon, "How Blessed It Is to Be in Joseph's House." That's the typical significance. Joseph is the type. The one whom the Lord has sent before Israel, before the household of Jacob, into Egypt to prepare for them. He is a type of our Lord Jesus, who has gone before down into Egypt in order to redeem us from Egypt, from the bondage of our sins, so that we may have sweet fellowship and we may be merry. How blessed it is to be in Joseph's house, as the psalmist says, "In thy courts to worship, my God, a single day is better than 1,000 when I from thee stray." Though in a lowly station, the service of my God, I choose above all pleasures that sinful ways afford. Do you know that, O child of God? Are you extremely blessed in being in God's house, fed with His Word, enjoying sweet fellowship with the true Joseph? So under the theme, entering into Joseph's house, notice the approach to Joseph's house. Notice, second of all, the reception in Joseph's house. And then thirdly, the abundant feast in Joseph's house. For the brethren to gather in Joseph's house, notice it was divinely ordered and realized. That is why these brothers are in that house. Divinely ordained. For we read at the beginning of the chapter that the famine was sore in the land. Old Jacob is procrastinating and procrastinating. He's holding out as long as he can. He doesn't like this one bit. He does not want to let go of his favorite son. But finally, there's no more food. And so he is forced to say to his sons, "Go down to Egypt and buy." God working. That famine was there in the land in order to bring Joseph's brethren down to Egypt, and eventually to bring Jacob's whole household down to Egypt in order that they could be separated away from the Canaanites. They were too closely affiliated with them, that they could be a separate people unto the Lord in Egypt. Yes, divinely ordained, there was a famine in the land. And when Joseph sees his brethren coming with Benjamin with him, he says to his steward, "Usher them to my house." Yes, Joseph is ordaining this meeting. He doesn't say now, Before I see my brothers, before I talk to my brothers, I want them to apologize to me. None of that business. No, as God took the first step with Adam and Eve in the garden, so Joseph takes the first step to these brothers who sinned against him. He invites them into his house. And he says, prepare a feast for them. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to make merry. What typical significance there is in this? Is this not spiritually true? Why are we here again this evening? Isn't it because God has divinely ordained that we should be here? In eternity, choosing us and making us His special people, drawing us to Himself. Doesn't He draw us to His house because He creates a famine? There's nowhere else where we can look to be fed than by our God and in His house. And is it not our brother Jesus Christ, the one who sets all things in motion so that we may be loved by Him and be fed in His house? Yes, He prepares the feast that we're going to eat from Himself. We're going to eat from His table. Divinely ordained that the brothers were in the house of Joseph. Divinely ordained, orchestrated that we, brothers and sisters, are in the house of the true Joseph tonight. And so they come with a steward. And we read verse 18, the men were afraid. You would think they'd be ecstatic. How many people are invited to what is really the prime minister's house? Invited to his house to be his guests. A dinner prepared. What would you say if you were visiting England and you were invited to Buckingham Palace and all of its splendors? But they're not ecstatic. But they say, woe is us. How do we belong there? What have we done? They're afraid. They're afraid because of the money in their sacks. And they say, lo and behold, we're invited to this man's house because he's out to get us. That money is what's in our sack. He's seeking an occasion against us so that he can take us and make us his slaves and he can take our asses also. Yes, in the world there are those you should be afraid of. In the Philippines, we would always have to say, look out. When one man's house, a missionary's house, was broken into, we asked them, shall we call the police over? They were on furlough and they said, no, no, because then what is left will be also taken. Yes, there would be the police over there that would seek an occasion in order to get bribery money from these Americans. And so these brothers are afraid. Yes, the money was in our sacks, and now we are being called to account. He's going to seek an occasion against us in order that he could say we're thieves and we'll be made his slaves and he'll take all that we have. But it's not only that they're afraid because of what they had done, but if you'll remember back in chapter 42, they had done more talking when that money was put in their sacks. In chapter 42, verse 28, they are afraid, we read there, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? What is this that God hath done unto us? There's guilt in their hearts. And when guilt weighs us down, there is suspicion. Then there is not ease of speaking with the Lord or having the Lord speak to us. But rather we would call for the mountains to cover us. We would hide away. They are afraid. Guilt. What have we to do in the house of this master in Egypt? We come again this evening, as we did this morning. Isn't the house of God splendid? Far more splendid than Buckingham Palace. It's the place where God is pleased to dwell with His people. And the question comes, what right do we foreigners have in this place? Who are we? With all of our sin and all of our guilt to stand before the master of this house? What right do we have to enter and dwell there? We sang those words of Psalter number 24. Who may stand in the house of the Lord? Who may enter into His courts? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who are we? The brothers come expecting to be dealt with harshly again. But instead they are dealt with royally. And, O child of God, that can also be our expectation. Our sin, our guilt, it is much. Every week when we come to the Lord's house, we've sinned again grievously during the day, during the week. And that sin weighs us down in their suspicion. Who are we to come into God's house? But rather than being dealt with harshly, we are dealt with royally. Before they enter into the house, these brothers try to portray, somehow bring about their innocence before the steward of the house. They go through the whole rigmarole of telling the story of how they had paid their money and suddenly their money was found again in their sacks on the way home. And as they try to somehow make excuses or somehow portray themselves as true men, even though they know the facts are all against them, they hear a beautiful word, don't they? They hear a word spoken in their own language. And what is that word? Shalom. Peace be unto you. Do not be afraid. Peace. And then the steward speaks to them of a payment that was made. I had your money. I had your money in my hand. And how is this that there is money in their sacks? And he points them to their God. He says, your God and the God of your father put it there. Who put it there? Elohim. How beautiful they hear the gospel in this foreign land where they would not expect to hear it. They hear it in Joseph's house. Peace unto you, Elohim, the God of your father. That is, the God, the covenant God is the one who has enriched you. He has made the payment for you. We pause just a moment here and look at this, and we see something about the excellency of Joseph. Oh, Joseph could not change the religion of the land. That's not his prerogative. He's the prime minister. They worship false gods down there in Egypt, but in Joseph's house. The steward knows Joseph's God. And we may presume with Calvin that the steward worshipped that God. Oh, the excellency of Joseph. He teaches those in his house to know God. And so we come, like the brothers did, in fear because of sin, because of guilt. We come into God's house, and what do we hear? What's the first thing we hear when we come to God's house? Beloved. That's the first word that we hear from the true Joseph. Beloved, I love you. And then we hear grace, mercy, and peace be granted unto you. From God our Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What words that come to us sinful, guilty people. Grace! Do not be afraid. Jesus says to His disciples, fear not. Grace! You know mercy. I'm not going to deal with you harshly as you deserve. And because of that mercy, there is peace for you. Be at rest. Do not be afraid. Shalom. How wonderful that it is our covenant God who seeks us out, who draws us into His house and speaks these wonderful words. As brothers of Joseph, even as these physical brothers of Joseph heard when they came into Joseph's house. What an approach. Yes, our sins are many, but shalom. And how are we received in Joseph's house? Immediately the steward sees to the washing of their feet. They are not dealt with harshly, but Simeon is taken out of prison, reunited with the brothers. And the steward provides water so that they may wash themselves, they may wash their feet. And food is provided for the donkey. And in that action, Joseph, through his servant, is providing for the care for these brothers, water for their feet. Immediately we jump to the antitype, our Lord Jesus. Oh, when He came to the house of the Pharisee, He was not afforded this dignity of having His feet washed. You will remember, boys and girls, that it was the woman who came in who had many sins, who broke her ointment, and she washed Jesus' feet with her tears and her hair. And our true Joseph, when he sat down with his disciples, the 12, he stripped himself of his clothing and he took up a basin of water and he washed their feet. And Peter first objects. And Jesus says, unless you are washed, you have no part of me, Peter. Then Peter wants everything washed and Jesus says, that's not necessary, Peter. That's not necessary. There's symbolism. How wonderful as these brothers had their feet washed that they could enter into Joseph's house. We are washed Our feet are washed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. All that sin and all that guilt washed away. We are delivered from the bondage of our sin, even as Simeon was delivered from the prison. And it is that spiritual cleansing that allows us to enter into Joseph's house and to have fellowship with him. Who, O Lord, in thy house abiding will be thy guest, says the songwriter. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Sinners like you and I have our feet washed. Our Joseph himself does that washing, cleanses all of our sins away. And we read then of these brothers that they are busy then, after their feet are washed, their donkeys are taken care of, preparing the gifts. They're going to lay those gifts out. Oh, what gifts they have. Balm and honey and spices and myrrh and nuts and almonds. The best from the land of Canaan. We've got to pause a minute. We've got to say, Jacob, 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 what are you doing? When he sends his sons down there to Egypt, he is all afraid because he's afraid that the leader, that master of Egypt, is against him. And he pulls the same stunt, the same kind of tricks that he pulled once before when he was afraid when he had to meet his brother Esau. Remember how he got all kinds of gifts? Some, I believe it was 580 animals to somehow appease Esau. And now Jacob says, take these gifts. Take these gifts and appease the master of the house. And so we find these brothers now carefully preparing their presents to give to Joseph, trying to somehow earn favor and love from the master of the house, the master of Egypt. What does Joseph do? Is he interested in all these little trinkets? Does he say, my, oh my, what a nice gift you have given me? Balm and myrrh and almonds. No, he's not interested in the gifts. He doesn't need those gifts. He's got the storehouses of Egypt. But he's interested in those who bring the gifts. Listen to him as he asks in verse 27, how is it with the old man, your father? Is he still alive? What an interest he takes in this family. His family. And in verse 29, he looks around and he sees Benjamin, his brother, his birth brother. And listen to him. Is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me? And he turns and he says, God, Elohim, be gracious unto thee, my son. The Hebrew word there would be Benai. My son, Benjamin. Again, they come into Joseph's house and from the steward they hear about Elohim who gives shalom, peace. And now again, a testimony in this heathen land, in Joseph's house, God be gracious to you, my son. What wonderful thing to hear in their ears. Testimony of Jehovah God. What an interest taken in these men by the master of the house, by Joseph. And what an interest. What an interest by the true Joseph in the affairs, in the home, in the household of his. Of you, of me. We come bearing our gifts too, don't we? But hopefully we come bearing our gifts not thinking that somehow we can earn favor with God if we put enough trinkets into the collection plate. If we give enough of our collection, then hopefully God will be satisfied. Hopefully that is not the way we give our offerings, trying to earn favor with God. You can't buy it. Yes, listen to that steward of the house. They were coming with money again, double money. And the steward said, I have your money. Take your money. I don't need your money. We hear our Lord Jesus, don't we? In Isaiah 55. Come, buy wine and milk without money. You can't buy the favor and the love of God. We come bringing gifts. But we bring the gifts out of love. We come bringing the gifts because we love Joseph's house. We love the kingdom of God. And as there was preparation made by Jacob to give a proper gift, may we also make that kind of preparation in our gifts, not whatever is left over after the week. The Lord isn't asking for leftovers. He wants the finest. He wants the best. He wants love. He's interested in those who bring the gifts. We know from week to week what the offerings are going to be for. May we during the week prepare so that we bring the finest gifts, not to appease God, not to earn something, but in gratitude. Because we love Him, we love His kingdom. And we read that when Joseph saw his brothers and that they had brought Benjamin with him, his bowels moved within him, that is, they yearned in him. What love he had for these brothers who had sinned against him, yes, but they were his brothers. And he runs out of the room to weep. What a picture we have there of the true Joseph and his love for us. We who have sinned against him, yes, but he loves us. His bowels yearn within him for us. Wonderful love. No, in our pericope here, not yet known by these brothers because Joseph has to do some more testing yet. He's not done working with these brothers. How easy it would have been there to just say, I am Joseph, your brother. But he is going to labor with them. To bring them to a full consciousness of their sins. To see if they have changed or not. The true Joseph has an interest in us. He will test us also at times in order to draw us closer to himself. Noticing the reception in Joseph's house, notice the apartheid feast. Moses is at pains to point that out here. You've got three tables. You got the master of the house sitting by himself, and you have the Egyptians sitting at a table by themselves, and you have the brothers sitting at a table by themselves. And Moses points out in our selection here, it is because of the pride of the Egyptians. They would not sit with the Hebrews. We read in verse 32, the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. We have a picture there again. The church, that is the house of Jacob, is an abomination. It is despised by the world. It's beneath contemplation that they would sit with them. What a picture of the world and the church. She hates the church. She's not a friend to the church. She looks down upon those weak people that think they need this crutch to get through life, dependence upon God. And yet that's beautiful, that apartheid. That is beautiful that God has created that separation between the world and the church. And it is even beautiful that the Lord created that hatred, that bitterness, that anger between the world and the church. He did that in that first promise to Adam and Eve in the garden. Thankfully, the world appears for what it is, an enemy to grace, so that we are not tempted to join the world and be one with the world. Very interestingly, I read part of a sermon of one minister, and he uses this whole feast of the brothers with Joseph here as a type for common grace, preparing them for finally spiritual grace once Joseph acknowledges himself before them. There's no common grace here. This is not just preliminaries. We have here the brothers seated at a table apart from the Egyptians, and they are going to dine with Joseph. They're going to enjoy being in Joseph's house. And so the brothers are all seated at this table by themselves, from the eldest to the youngest. What is the significance of that? The brothers take note of it, don't they? How can this be? How can this man have a seated from the eldest to the youngest? These are not young guys anymore that you can easily tell which is the oldest. These are old men. But the importance is, even though they are from different wives, different mothers, often opposing each other and fighting with one another, and especially against the children of Rachel, the favorite. Here in Joseph's house, they're all equal. That is, regardless of who their mother was of the two concubines or the two wives, from the eldest to the youngest, they are seated around that table as one family. And that's the way we come in God's house. It doesn't make any difference of our background. It doesn't make any difference how long we have been in the Protestant Reformed Church or in the church itself. But male and female, Jew and Greek, we're all one in Christ Jesus. We each have an equal place. One is not better than the other. But we are seated together as the family of God, belonging together, fitted together. And seated at that table now, Joseph proceeds to feed his brothers. We notice that they are fed from Joseph's table. You'll remember later on that Daniel and his friends were going to be fed from the King Nebuchadnezzar's table. That is, they would be given the luxuries of that table. Daniel could not partake at that point. But that's different here. That has nothing to do with this story in that sense. What is important here is they eat. They are supplied from Joseph's table. Joseph takes what he has in his storehouses, luxurious food, to be received in a joyful and a liberal manner. Those who were suffering terrible famine are set before a feast for a king, abundant food. We read that Joseph gives them portions of food to each one of them. But not only are they fed, but they enjoy now sweet fellowship. They're really one. Their fear can be put aside. The master loves them, the master of this house. He is pleased to eat with them. And we read in our text, verse 34, that they were merry with him. They were content. All was well. Spiritually, we go from the type to the antitype. We come into the true Joseph's house and we are fed from his table. We are fed from the storehouses of Joseph. The forgiveness of our sins, the hope of everlasting life, sons and daughters, all the benefits of his death and resurrection, they are ours. And they are given to us and we partake. Do we rejoice? Do we rejoice in the sumptuous feast? The gospel that is preached, the Christ that is presented in the gospel. And are we satisfied? These brothers, they leave Joseph's house merry and happy on the way home, not knowing what is going to take place just later that day or the next day. They're not knowing the trials that lay ahead. And so we too are fed. We are nourished at God's house. We go forth from this place of worship. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring or the next day, what trials we might have to go through. But we know that we have been in Joseph's house and we have been fed. We have had fellowship with our Joseph. But we want to step back before we leave that house, the portions of food. How does he feed his brothers? I want you to notice it is not family style. That's what we call it here in the States, family style, or in Singapore too, where there's one main dish on the table and everyone digs in. But no, each person has their own portion in front of them. Kind of like they do in Northern Ireland. When you sit down by the table, the lady of the house fixes each plate, usually filled with food, and sets it right in front of you. So Joseph has a portion for each of his brothers, but then we read that to his brother Benjamin, there is a fivefold portion set there. What does it mean? It is not the case that the other brothers have just a plate with just a small amount of food on it. They'd go hungry. Their plates all were full, but Joseph now has five times the food. Not that he can eat five times, but he is singled out as being special, or again, a favorite, a privilege. What does it mean? Benjamin preferred. Benjamin the favorite. Would these brothers now envy him as they envied the brother with the beautiful coat? And would their envy lead to hatred, which we heard about this morning, which leads to murder in their hearts or by their hands? That remains to be seen. Joseph watches the members of his household as they are in his house. Have they changed? They are in the house with Joseph, but they don't know it yet. Oh, how Joseph loves these brothers. He yearns for them. He weeps for reunion. But he has to still prove whether they are changed men. He's checked it once with Simeon. Would they come back for him? Now he checks it with Benjamin's portion. The Lord willing, we're going to see later on, he's going to check it one more time when Benjamin looks like the guilty one, and how easy it would be for the brothers to say, hey, he was caught with a silver cup. Let's go home to our families. What will they do when the favorite son is caught with a silver cup? Will they leave him or will they love him? Yes. Joseph is still dealing with his brothers in a pedagogical way. He's got to find out what's in their heart. And our greater Joseph, the true Joseph, still deals with us also pedagogically, doesn't he? He comes instructing us because there is still sin in our hearts that needs to be confessed. At times, our Joseph seems hidden from us, because our sin is getting in the way. Guilt lays in our hearts. And He wants us to confess our sins. Confessing our sins, we come into Joseph's house. And we are fed by Him and we enjoy sweet fellowship with Him. And we look forward. We look forward as members of His household to our elder brother when we will enjoy that marriage feast of the Lamb in the new heavens and the new earth. Then we will fully know Him and enjoy Him forever. Oh, how blessed it is to be fed, to be welcomed in Joseph's house. Say it, brother. Say it, sister. How blessed it is to be in Christ's house. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee that we may have sweet intercourse with our Joseph. That Christ Jesus is here by His Word and His Spirit. He welcomes us into His house. He washes away all of our sins and He feeds us to life eternal. Oh, what sweet fellowship we have with Thee, our God. It was good to be in the house of the Lord. And now go with us in this coming week. Sustain us with Thy love in the trials, the difficulties, the sins, the temptations that we meet, that we may remain strong in Thy love. Amen. Number 94 in our Psalters. Stanza 3, with the abundance of Thy house we shall be satisfied. From rivers of unfailing joy our thirst shall be supplied. Stanzas 3 through 6 of number 94. Thank you. keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.